All right, so we are going to talk about a topic that is pretty hot and also pretty awkward to talk about for most people, and that is money. Money is weird, money's uncomfortable, money's strange. People don't know what money can bring to them, and it makes men and women very cautious and uncomfortable to talk about money. So today I have an expert on the phone with me named Kelly, and she is going to talk about women and money. So Kelly, why don't you introduce yourself, give a little bit of a background so that people know who you are and why you are an expert.
Well, thank you very much for the introduction, Marnie. And my name is Kelly. I work in the financial services industry and have for about 22 years now. I've worked for large Wall Street firms. I'm a certified financial planner. I do retirement planning for individuals and families and have a subsection of my business which is especially geared toward women and the concerns and fears women have with money. So I've worked with people and their money for years. Unfortunately, I have to say my licensing forbids me from using the word expert, but I can say I have a couple decades worth of experience with people and their money. So I still work in the financial services industry and love it.
Okay. Well, I am sure that you have had a lot of experience talking to men and women about money in general. But for the purpose of this interview, I really want to focus on advising and assisting men when dealing with money. Not just handling money, but a lot of men write into me asking, do I have to be rich in order to attract a woman? Do I need to have a lot of cash? Is it bad if I tell a woman that I have X, Y, and Z? There's a lot of men who are really wealthy who right away start spitting out, you know, the first top lines of their financial statement to women in order to attract them. And I wanted to find out from you if these things are important to women and how men should handle the topic of money.
Well, you've asked a lot of important questions, Marnie, and I think if we take them one by one, that's probably the easiest way.
Definitely.
Number one is there are certainly gold diggers everywhere that everybody lives who are interested in money more than they're interested in the man who is in front of them or across the dinner table from them.
Okay.
And the one thing I can say about this is there's two things I can say about this I think are very important. Number one, realize for any man falling for a woman like this, she's viewing it as a transaction.
Okay.
And when someone views it as a transaction, the person gets lost in the process. So one way that I've seen with my clients and even suggested to clients, it's been extremely successful for kind of weeding out a gold digger, is ask your friends to be honest and be prepared to bite your tongue if they tell you something you may not want to hear, because friends always see right through it.
Okay.
And a lot of times friends feel uncomfortable talking about the person somebody's dating. But for a solicited opinion, is she a gold digger? Is she more interested in me than she is in the money? More interested in the money than she is in me? Excuse me. You'll get a good answer because friends never miss a trick.
Okay. So how?
And the second part was.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh no! Sorry. Please continue.
And then you asked a question about what happens if a woman, what was the other one?
I actually forget. I spit out a lot of information. So I don't remember. But I'm going to bounce off of the statement that you just made, which is great, which means that the man is not looking for somebody to have a transaction with. He does not want to exchange giving a woman money for love and affection, whatever it is that he's gaining out of that exchange. So are there certain questions that he can ask the woman, or is there a way that he can carry himself so that he doesn't end up being with a gold digger?
Well, the thing is, it can get pretty complex, because I think that when men are attracted to somebody, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, they're attracted. I mean, the reasons are probably pretty simplistic, and, you know, they run the gamut for different people, but they're probably pretty simplistic. So if a man's attracted to a woman, let's say that he approaches her, they start talking, they go on a few dates, if she turns out to be really interesting or intelligent or funny or whatever it is he's looking for, he's going to his interest is even going to grow.
Right.
Women, generally speaking, are pretty complicated. What we're attracted to, why we're attracted, it's very complex. And the way we prioritize things and the way we tend not to communicate directly about to men we are attracted to, it can get really complicated and very, 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 very confusing for men to read. So because of that complexity and because gold diggers, in order for gold digger to be very successful, obviously the name of the game is what? Is to hide the intention. So
right.
I it's very, most questions that I think most men would be apt to ask are going to be pretty direct questions, and they're going to have very easy answers for a gold digger to hide her true intentions.
Definitely.
The one thing that I really find that no gold digger can really hide from is the impression she leaves on people's friends, siblings, whoever they're close to, because they care about him, the man who's involved, and they also see the way that she acts, and especially, over a few months, it's going to become glaringly clear to them what's going on.
Okay. And what about
I'm going to interrupt you.
What about men who don't have money? Are they still able to attract a woman?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course, because it's always people first and money second. And unfortunately, we've lost track of that, not only in our society, but in our brains. Of course men who don't have money can have relationships, and successful ones at that. For people who don't have money, for men who don't have money, there's something as true as for the men who do. It's just a matter of being yourself. Most women, when all said and done, if you ask me, most women are more concerned with a man being there than how much money he has and that he cares about her and shows he cares about her than buys her things, except for the gold diggers, generally speaking.
Yeah.
But it's really that straightforward. Now, for a man who doesn't have money, if he's going to go out and pretend he does, run up his credit card bills, here's some of the things I've seen. Run up his credit card bills, use ATM receipts from somebody else's, bank account that someone left and pretend it's his. I mean, crazy stuff like that. He's setting himself up for failure, and he's selling the wrong thing about himself. He's showing the wrong qualities that he has to offer. So, of course, a man without money can have a successful relationship. Yes.
Okay, good. Well, I'm actually trying to find this email now, but I can't seem to find it. But I got an email from a man who said, I'm asking a question for my friend, but this friend of mine has been dating a girl for about a year and a half now, and he just recently got a raise and a promotion. It was a pretty big one. And after he announced to the woman that he got the raise and promotion, she started talking about marriage. Is this terms for breaking up? Is she a gold digger? And I was actually shocked by this comment, to tell you the truth, that that's how men could view the situation, that that was a gold digging situation. Because I don't think that at all, to tell you the truth. And I was wondering what your take on that situation was.
My take on the situation is I don't have enough money. I don't have enough information. Nor do I have, nor do I know these people.
Right.
She could be, but she may not be.
Right.
It could be either way, But the thing I want to highlight about this situation, which I think is very, very important, is for people who have been dating, for a year and a half or whatever that time period is for you, when the idea of moving together comes up, the idea of getting engaged comes up, and certainly, hopefully, way before people are talking about getting married, or people are actually getting married. There's three things I think every couple should discuss with each other. Number one is what they own. Number two is what they owe. And number three is their FICO score.
Yeah.
And discussing these three things in a couple goes a long way to alleviating a lot of problems that come later. If a man is involved with a woman who won't disclose these things to him, I'd really question how much he could trust her and if this relationship's got a solid basis to begin with.
Really? That's interesting. Even though some people may be funny about money, and they just may have certain belief systems about what they share and what they don't share until they get to a certain point in their relationship?
If a couple think about moving in together because they want to get married, why wouldn't they have that kind of trust where they trust each other?
Yes. In my opinion, yes, they should have that trust.
Exactly. And so the thing is, if that conversation can't happen at a point where a couple's thinking about moving together, to me, that tells me that their relationship is built on very, very shaky ground. Because, I mean, one of the biggest reasons people get divorced or their relationships don't work out is because of money.
Oh, 100%.
You know, and if they're talking about what are other aspects of what's going to make their life together successful, this is one of the core topics. And so if people disclose what they own, what they owe, what their FICO score is, and if to the degree they can talk about what their experience around money is. And I don't mean how experienced they are at handling it, but how they view it. Do they feel comfortable when they have a lot of money in savings so that they know that everything will be okay? Or do they feel comfortable when they can go out and spend money on things to show that they're okay? You know, to the degree a couple can understand themselves and each other and themselves in relationship to each other about what they own, what they owe, and as a result, what their FICO score is, I think they have a higher rate of success.
I agree with you. If you have very similar beliefs, if you talk to each other and understand your partner's beliefs, because that was an issue with my now husband when we were dating. We thought mm-hmm. very differently about money. I come from a very conservative background, and he comes from a non-conservative background when it comes to money. Mm-hmm. For me, I was like, save, and sit on your money until you die. And for me now, looking back on that, I don't like the way that I used to view money. And then for mm-hmm. him, obviously, it was the opposite. And so he has now, once we did start having those conversations about money and revealing things to each other, he made me more comfortable with letting loose with money and enjoying my life while still saving, and I helped him save more. So that was actually a big thing for us when we got to that point of talking about money. It just took a lot of pressure off a lot of things because it wasn't like hearsay or imagining in our heads what was going on. I think it was a really big move for us to discuss money. Not how much do you have and how much are you going to make and do I want to be with you, but as you said, just how you feel about money. But I do want to go back to the email that the man wrote, and I still can't find it for some reason. But okay. I just want to tell you my take on the situation. So for a lot of women, or for a lot of men are single focused. And when they get into a relationship, and they may not be completely established yet in their career, they are very single focused on building up their career. And so for women, they want to be with this man, but they are waiting until they feel more stable so that they can suddenly bring up the next topic of marriage and life partnership and being together. And I said I saw this guy got a raise and a promotion as a note to the woman saying, you know what? Okay, he's made it in that area, and now he's probably ready to start focusing on having a life with you. And just in mm-hmm. general, that makes a more stable life for the two of you. So, the topic of marriage is definitely going to be brought up. It's not a gold digging situation. That's my opinion. It's not gold digging at all. It's just understanding where the relationship is.
I think that's exactly what I think we're talking about the same thing. I do think it's understanding where the relationship is. And for him, especially since he's interpreting it as it's the raise that was the catalyst here. And again, I haven't read the email and don't know who this
right.
person is. You know, that that for him to feel comfortable, he's going to need to understand what it is she's after. What the promotion means to her. And why it means that to her. But I want to say something. We're talking about marriage. I want to say something really quick that I find is a huge difference between men and women that comes up over and over and over again, if it's okay right now.
Yeah, of course.
And this has to do with the house. Usually women think spending money on decorating their home is extremely important, and men usually think differently. Let me put it
yes.
that way.
Yes.
I usually don't think so. And one thing I think it's really critical, because this is an area I see couples fight over all the time, renovations, remodels, stuff around the house, is that women generally see their homes as a reflection of themselves. And when people come over to visit and they look at the things that are in the home, on the walls, on the shelves, on the table, the state of how clean it is or, you know, whatever,
yeah.
usually women feel that any judgment people make is about them personally.
Definitely.
So if a man can understand who's in a relationship, moving in with a woman, that she wants to spend money because she's taking this as a judgment of who she is, that will go a long way to a lot of misunderstandings.
Oh, definitely. Actually, you're...
It's kind of like a house to a woman. It's kind of like a car is to a lot of guys.
100%.
That's probably the most direct way I can put it.
As soon as I got engaged, I started nesting. 100%. I wanted to build up our home. I wanted to make it... I didn't want it to be a college house anymore. I didn't want different pieces of furniture. I wanted it to match and be together, which is what we are now. I wanted to build a nice home for us to be comfortable in. So I really like the way that you're saying it. And yes, on a deeper level, it is from some sort of insecurity and fear of judgment. One, definitely. But I also think that it's a togetherness thing where everything seems together. Once your home is together, then it feels like all the pieces are in place.
For a woman, you know, and a lot of men might say, what does it matter? We've got, you know, we do these other things. So, I just think it's really important to bring the point out that, as you just said, it feels together for most women. And so, you know, if it's a matter of compromising where money is spent, I just would love to get the point across about women, to men, that this is going to be a high priority to most women.
Okay. Well, when we were talking the other day, you mm-hmm. had mentioned something about females and their goals with money, and just how you said men, their goals are, I want to be a bazillionaire and I want my business to be super successful and blah, 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 blah. But you said that you never actually hear women say those things, or it's very rare for you to hear a woman say those things, and that instead you hear women say, I want to marry well. I think you had mentioned that to me the other day.
What I believe is that that men and women view money very, very differently, and what money's going to do for them very, very differently, and how they're going to go out and get it very, very differently. I just think there's a male view generally of money in the world and a female view of money generally in the world. And my previous employer was Bear Stearns, and I was there for 11 years. And the things that are fascinating are that in all the years that I've worked in the large firms and talked and worked with clients more specifically, is that I time after time after time again I hear men say, I want to be rich. And rich in my interpretation of what men are looking for generally is, I want power, I want influence, I want to be able to choose the women I want because I know women are attracted to money or feel comfortable with money.
Okay.
And they want to be able to know where they rank or stack up in relation to their buddies.
Okay.
You know, am I making more than my buddy? Whatever.
Yeah.
Whereas I have never heard a woman say, I want to be rich. I've heard women say, I want to be secure. I want to not have to worry about money. I want to take care of my kids. I want to make sure there's a roof over my head. Or I want to make sure I marry someone, marry well, an old term, and I guess in a way, but
yeah.
or find someone who can provide those things for me. So the approach is really different. The outlook is really different. That's a huge difference. And it puts a lot of pressure on men, if you ask me.
Yeah.
And it puts pressure on women too.
And so you're saying that the solution for alleviating this pressure is really just open communication about money, about what
Yeah, that's a really interesting point because, you know, the solution for that is open communication really helps. But the tricky part is most people don't really know how they feel about it. And some of the ones who might are going to say, are going to point to certain things in their life to tell themselves something differently. For example, you know, I meet a tremendous amount of women, a startlingly, shockingly high number of women who I meet personally, professionally, whatever, who really just haven't, who can take care of themselves on one level. They can go to work, they can get their house clean, they can pay for their car, pay for their mortgage or rent or whatever they're doing, but they still in the back of their minds are holding on to belief that they're going to either get married or a man's going to show up and make the big decisions about her life.
Yeah, I agree.
So in a very real and overarching way, they haven't learned to take care of themselves yet in a really important way.
Okay.
And even when a man shows up, they don't necessarily want to be part of the conversation. So unless if it's to say, you're really not doing this right. So it gets really, really, really tricky. So I think communication is part of the answer, but it really, the other part of the answer is for people to have some clarity on what that means for them, and most people don't know. So that usually means bringing in a third party to help people sort through what it is that they mean or what their patterns are or whatever.
Okay. I have one more question for you.
Sure.
Let's try and dig really, really deep here. And try and get an honest female perspective on this question. What do you think a man that has money and things, what do you think ultimately it means to a woman? Does it mean cha-ching, piggy bank, or does it mean something else? Like, what does it mean that about this man?
Wow. So let me make sure I have this correct. We've got a man, we've got a man who's got... who's got a lot of money, whatever that means to this woman, okay? And she meets him, and the question, what does Mr. Moneybags, Daddy Warbucks mean to her?
Basically, like, why is that attractive? Is it really just because he can buy her things and provide her with a stable life? Or on a deeper level, is there something else that she's ultimately attracted to about that man? Not saying that he's like a guy who sits on his ass all day, who, you know, he's from a trust fund, so he that's how he has his money. A man who actually has earned his dollars. What does that mean?
Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. I currently have a client who is married, who has a mistress, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the mistress, is older than the wife, which,
wow,
you know, most people wouldn't expect. And in this case, the wife and the client gives the mistress a significant amount of money each month. Okay. What conclusion would you draw about that circumstance? And I'm going to answer your question.
What would I say?
What conclusion would you draw about that circumstance based on what I've told you?
Basically, he's paying her to be quiet.
Hmm?
He's paying her to be quiet. That would be the first thing that I think of. But knowing who I am on a different level and my understanding of both sides, I would definitely say that's not the case. But for anybody else listening, they would think, he's paying her to be quiet so that she doesn't say anything.
Well, you know, and it's really interesting because that makes all the sense in the world. But in reality, she's the one he loves. And she, for a variety of reasons, just did not love him enough to marry him and told him that honestly. And he decided he just wanted to take care of her for the rest of her life so she wouldn't have to worry.
Okay.
So, you know, in this case, here's a woman who came from a very modest background, who met a man who's got a tremendous amount of money by Los Angeles standards. And whatever it was that he was or wasn't enough for her, and she was honest about it. It just meant that she cared enough about him to tell him the truth. I think when all said and done in the end, most women are going to fall down on that side, that a man with money, we're taking the gold diggers off the table now, obviously, but a man with money is going to mean the same thing to most women that a man without money means. How does he make her feel?
Okay.
And if he makes her feel the way that she wants to feel, he's in. And if he doesn't make her feel that way or can't, or if they don't connect in the way that you know, she imagines they really could connect or she'd like them to connect, all the money in the world's not going to give him the key to her heart. Because in the end, it's not about money. It's about people first. It's about that connection first. That's what we all look for as people.
Okay. But actually, I'm going to question that, and I know that you probably don't have enough information about this, but you're saying that she didn't care about him enough to marry him?
But she didn't love him enough to marry him.
Okay.
And told so.
Okay, but I guess for me, that like even with that explanation, that sounds like someone who's really liking the lifestyle that's provided. It may be me being ignorant, but if she said, I don't love you enough to be with you, but I'll enjoy the time I get with you and enjoy a nice lifestyle, that seems a little bit.
He was the one who, I'm going to say this and probably leave them alone, okay. But he was the one who decided he wanted to take care of her. She never asked for it.
Okay.
And at first she actually refused it. But I think it's something really interesting. What I want to share is something that a man who I'm very close to told me, and I think it's really, really true. He said to me, up till the point where most men are about maybe 35 or 40, what most of them are looking for is the most attractive woman that they can either attract based on their looks, their sense of humor, personality, or money, who's as beautiful as she can be, as hot as she can be, you know, who's slightly less intelligent than he is, so he can impress all his friends and seemingly impress himself. And then after about 35, 40, pick an age, I'm not sure about the ages, but you get the range.
Yeah.
Most men realize that life is really hard and that they really want a partner, a woman who can make decisions, who can pick up the slack when he just can't go on, and then they can look out for each other and watch each other's back.
Okay.
So I think that that's really, you know, and that's what I've seen with successful couples around their money that happens most often, that the successful couples, you know, that the women who are honest with their men and the men who are honest with their women, who don't try to play a game, that use money to play a game, who don't try to use money to drive a wedge, who don't try to use money to lock people into a relationship or lock them out of a relationship, you know, or substitute their feelings, mm-hmm. that they're the ones who are successful. Because I can tell you, I've got plenty of clients I've seen over the years who there's a tacit agreement between the husband and wife where he will be like, I'll give you the money you need so long as you turn the blind eye to the things I do, and both of them are complicit. And I've seen the successful couples who really care about each other, enjoy each other, they don't play those games. They make time for each other, they tell each other what's going on, and they look out for each other.
Okay. That's very interesting. Well, I do want to finish on the question that I had asked before, mm-hmm. of what power and money means to a woman on a deeper level. What does it say about a man?
Well, I'm not a psychologist, but if I were to take a stab at this, I would say, especially in our culture, the power and money to a woman probably gives some women a real big feeling of protection. They give them a feeling of importance. In some cases, some women who have a lot of power, the potential to use a lot of power, may feel their wings are clipped from using it because it somehow makes them unladylike, and it gives them a way to express the power they may be frustrated about expressing.
Okay.
And that it just might open some doors that some women may be afraid to open on their own, or that society tells them to keep shut. So it could give women, again, a feeling of protection and a feeling of feeling bigger than a man who may not have power or money may offer women who are looking at those as, you know, her own power, her own opportunities as closed doors.
So what if a man doesn't have any money? How does he still present himself in a way that's appealing to women? Because what you're saying is that a man who has money and power is a man that is also someone who might take risks. They may strive for the best. They may be really proactive. That's what I hear when, you know, I hear somebody has earned money, that they're a hard worker and that they constantly want to move forward with their lives so that they can afford things in the future. That's what I hear. So what if men don't have that earning potential, or don't think that they have that earning potential? How do they still show a woman that they're serious and that they're attractive?
Well, let me just say one thing really quick about what you said. I think it's absolutely true for men who are motivated by money, who do all the things that you talk about. They're proactive. They take risks. They might do that in their career, but they may have no desire to do it in their personal life. In fact, a lot of them don't.
Okay.
A lot of them don't. They're scared. Because let's think about this, Marnie. For those men who spend so much time building whatever it is that they're building so that they can get paid the money they want to get paid, a lot of them get so focused on their business, like you were talking about before, that they look up one day, they hit the numbers or the benchmarks they're using in terms of power and money, and they realize, oh my God, I don't know how to have a conversation. How do I go on a date? Because I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
If I'm not talking about deals, negotiation, whatever it may be. And so then they start getting lost and they start to panic, okay? And then what they usually substitute that with is a sense of entitlement. Well, I've got these things because all I've got is all I've got to show for who I am. So therefore, you better respect them, which turns into a dance on its own. That sense of entitlement does. And for guys who may have spent their time and their energy and their effort not building the benchmarks and the money and the business or whatever it is, they spent their time doing other things that interest them that maybe in the dating game under a certain age or over a certain age even doesn't mean the same to women or a lot of women that the guys who spend all their time and effort building these businesses and building these bank accounts and brokerage accounts mean, then what do they have to offer? They have to offer themselves. And do they run a risk of having a woman who might not think he's good enough because he doesn't have the money? They run that risk. But they also, if you ask me, have as high, if not slightly higher, potential to have a rewarding relationship because, A, the people who are either who are money-oriented, the women who are money-oriented, get screened out of the process. And, B, they might meet a woman who they can truly support, where they can build something together, or he can ground her so she can help build something for them.
Okay. That's
they won't be in competition with each other.
That's interesting.
They have a better opportunity to talk with each other and compliment each other versus compete. And I think, you know, if he can get centered and grounded that he's okay without these things, I think he's got a tremendous potential to have a tremendous connection.
So do I. And that was actually the point that I was
looking
for.
I'm sorry. It's the guys who get sidetracked and think they have to have all these things first that really causes a whole mind mess.
Yes, exactly. No,
you know,
there's
a whole mind mess, you know, and nobody wants to be with somebody who's a mind mess. Nobody does.
I agree with you, and that actually is a perfect place to end our conversation. But if you want to tell people how to get in touch with you, because I know that, you know, you work in finance, and I know that you can probably advise many of the people who are listening to this interview. If you do want to tell people how to get in touch with you, please do.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity. You know, if anyone wants to get in touch with me, I would love to talk with you. I can give you my personal email address, which is theretirementguru@gmail.com. Once again, that's theretirementguru@gmail.com. My name is Kelly, and would love to continue the conversation in any way you'd like.
Perfect. Well,
Marnie,
thank you
for this opportunity. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you for speaking openly and honestly. I really appreciate that.